Invite you to take your Bibles and turn together to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 at Tri-Lakes Reformed. I'm going through the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians chapter 5, and in God's providence I was at the characteristic of faithfulness this week, and so here we are together this morning considering the topic of faithfulness. This will be more of a topical consideration of faithfulness as we'll look at some other parts of Scripture as what the Lord has to say about faithfulness. There is an outline in your bulletin if you would like to use that. But let's give our attention to the Word of God. I'll read some of the broader context here in Galatians 5. I'll begin reading at verse 13 and read down through the end of the chapter. So please give your attention now to God's Word once again. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That's where we'll end the reading of God's Word. Let's stop and ask for His blessing. Father in heaven, we ask that You would give us Your Spirit now as we consider walking by the Spirit and the fruit that He grows in us as those who are new creations in Christ, united to the vine. Lord, we ask that You would give us eyes to see Your faithfulness, our lack of faithfulness, and the way in which by Your power and Your grace You are working out this fruit in our lives. And so we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What comes to mind when you hear the word faithfulness? Perhaps you think of wedding vows. Maybe you think of a faithful friend. Maybe you think of Christian martyrs. Maybe you think of your own unfaithfulness, your weakness. What about the faithfulness of God to His people, to you? Or the character of Christ as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It was striking as I studied this past week that three different authors from three different centuries all said just about the same thing. They said, well, faithfulness is hard to find in our day. Faithfulness is rare. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says nearly the same thing. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Faithful men are hard to find, not just in our day. Faithfulness is rare. Man is sinful and unfaithful. We are weak in faith. We are prone to wander. We are often unfaithful. But the good news of Galatians chapter 5 is that faithfulness is grown in us by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. He calls us to this, and He creates this in us, the very faithfulness of Christ. And today we want to consider that by looking into the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, by looking at the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of Christ, and considering what this faithfulness looks like in our lives. Brothers and sisters, the call and the encouragement to you, those of you who are in Christ by faith this morning, is to walk by faith in the Spirit as He grows and as He cultivates this fruit in you, as He cultivates faithfulness in you, which is contrary to your sinful nature. Be conformed to Christ as you live by faith and grow in faithfulness. Well, I want us to start by considering first what faithfulness is, by considering biblical faithfulness. Look again with me at verses 22 and 23 here in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. What is this faithfulness we're considering this morning? To bear the fruit of faithfulness by the Spirit, we need to understand biblically what it is. And the word that's used here in Galatians chapter 5 is actually the word that's most often translated simply by the word faith. Now, faith and faithfulness are very closely related, but they are not the same thing. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is by the Holy Spirit, which is also true of faithfulness. But faith is a saving grace in which we trust in Jesus as the only Savior. It is the instrument by which we are saved, by faith alone in Christ alone, through the grace of God alone. Faithfulness is a grace of sanctification that flows from faith, that flows from living by faith in Jesus Christ and by union with Him. Now, Galatians has a lot to say about faith. The whole letter is written to make clear that justification is by faith alone, not by works, not by faithfulness, not by keeping the law or particular parts of the law. It is only by the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us and received by faith. And that's an absolutely foundational reality that is all through Galatians and really all through the whole of Scripture. And it's a vital reminder and call to each and every one of you this morning to trust in Jesus for salvation, to put your faith in Him. Faith has an object. Faith lays hold of Jesus Christ, rests in Him and in His work alone. And so, brothers and sisters, do not trust in man. Do not trust in yourself, your works, your faith, your faithfulness or lack thereof, trust in Jesus, in who He is and in what He has done for you. Now, this word that is often and most usually translated faith can also mean faithfulness or fidelity, having the quality of firmness, that which can be counted on. And I think that is the case here in the context of Galatians 5, and it's reflected in most translations. Now, this faithfulness is patterned after God's faithfulness. Think about God's faithfulness, His covenant loyalty, His consistency, His honesty, His always telling the truth and keeping His word, His dependability. And the fruit of the Spirit is really the character of God cultivated in the Christian. The character of our Father being worked out in us as His children. It's being conformed to the image of Jesus by the work of the Spirit that dwells in us. And over again, the Scripture highlights the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of Jesus. And so it's no surprise to see it here in this list of the fruit of the Spirit. The Scripture also highlights man's unfaithfulness, that man commits spiritual adultery by worshiping idols, by again and again forgetting God's word, departing from God's law, by rebelling against the very one who brought them into existence, their Creator. Man is unfaithful to God and unfaithful to his fellow man. Faithfulness is not natural to the flesh, to our sinful nature. And rather than faithfulness, natural man practices what we read in verses 19 through 21. And these practices are still works of the flesh that we must battle against. So things like sexual immorality, idolatry, anger, drunkenness, and so on, these are unfaithfulness. But the Spirit, in contrast to all of that, is conforming His people, conforming you to Jesus Christ, making you faithful to God and to your fellow man, such that we serve one another and love one another, as verses 13 and 14 speak of. That we walk by the Spirit, crucifying the desires of the flesh, the unfaithfulness which once defined and dominated us. And of course, this is only by faith. It is only by the Spirit. This is why it's called a fruit of the Spirit. We can have no faithfulness without living and growing faith in Jesus Christ, without being in Him, united to Him. We cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. And so Galatians 20:20 says, "You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Friends, biblical faithfulness is living in Christ by faith. Independence on the Spirit, becoming like Christ, taking on His image, His characteristics, becoming faithful, trustworthy, dependable, honest, faithful in our words, faithful in our relationships, faithful in our actions, in our attitudes. It's living as we pray for in the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, in which we ask God to, by His grace, make us able and willing to know and do and submit to His will in all things with the humility, cheerfulness, and faithfulness of the angels in heaven, as the larger catechism explains. Are you living with this biblical faithfulness? Are you taking on this Christ-likeness in your life? Are you living by faith? Are you faithfully doing God's will? Now, none of us can answer that yes completely. None of us are perfectly faithful. We all fall short. We are still battling the flesh, as Galatians 5 reminds us. And yet the Lord is calling us to this faithfulness and growing this in us. But as we consider our unfaithfulness, our weakness, it ought to drive us to the faithfulness of God, the grace of God. We ought to fix our eyes on His perfect faithfulness. And I want to consider that second this morning, God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is an endless ocean. As Psalm 36, verse 5 says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." God's faithfulness is unending. It goes so far beyond our comprehension, and it's on almost every page of the Bible. Faithfulness is of the essence of God and of His character. Both 1 and 2 Corinthians 1 say simply, God is faithful. In and of Himself, God is faithful. He's faithful in all that He is, in all that He says, in all that He does. God is a promise-making and keeping God. And we could trace through the Scriptures how God is a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. He is faithful. One writer said He never forgets, never fails, never falters, never forfeits His word. To every declaration or promise or prophecy, the Lord has exactly adhered. And we see this faithfulness very early on in Scripture. In Genesis 8, verse 22, after the flood, God promised, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." And He has kept that promise. He has been faithful. The coming of spring, the coming of each new season, each year testifies to His faithfulness. The sun rising each day testifies to His faithfulness and is faithfully upholding this world by the word of His power. Lamentations 3, which we heard earlier this morning, tells us that His faithfulness is not just existent, is not just never-ending. It says His faithfulness is great. And that's in the context of discipline. Great suffering, great sorrow because of sin, because of unfaithfulness. But comfort is found. Hope is found in His great faithfulness. His unending love and mercy, which is new every morning. And I want you to just listen to some of the other ways that Scripture highlights God's faithfulness. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24 promises God will sanctify us completely and says He will surely do it because He is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9 says our final, our complete salvation is secure in Christ because God is faithful. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, "We can hold to the hope of the gospel, for He who promised is faithful." Romans 8, 30 says, "Those who He predestined, He also called, and those He called, He also justified, and those He justified, He also glorified." And that is just a very small sampling. God is faithful. He is faithful always. He is faithful in so many ways. Do you see how your entire existence is dependent on God's faithfulness? All of our comfort, all of our blessings, our security, the whole of salvation is rooted in His unending, unchanging faithfulness. And most of you in this room would have countless stories, personal experiences of His faithfulness in times of blessing and times of trial, times of plenty and times of want. If you are in Christ today, if you are a child of God, that is entirely by His faithfulness. And friends, all of this is reason to put your faith in Him, to trust in Him, to look to the faithful one. Psalm 26 verse 3 says, "For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness." Walk in His faithfulness. And as you walk by faith in His faithfulness, you will be more and more like Him. He will, by His grace, make you like Himself, make you faithful. The more we fix our eyes on His faithfulness, the more we will be enabled to be faithful in our lives like Him, the more faithfulness He will work out in us. And I want us to consider a few examples, really one example in particular, of a faithful saint next this morning. Faithful saints. We look through the pages of Scripture, we see the faithful God working out faithfulness in weak, unfaithful sinners. And it's so encouraging to see the fruit of faithfulness in the lives of believers from church history and from the Scriptures. There's so many we could consider. We could consider Joseph or Ruth, the prophet Jeremiah. We could look at the examples from Hebrews 11 and many more. And what we would see again and again is that none of them were perfect. None of them were completely faithful. They were all sinners saved by grace through faith. But God worked in them and through them and despite their unfaithfulness. But I want to consider briefly Daniel this morning. Daniel is a familiar character and it's a familiar story, but consider his faithfulness, the faithfulness of God to him and through him. Daniel 6, verse 3 through 5 says, "Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. These men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God.'" Daniel was faithful. And he was so faithful, even the unbelievers around him saw this, and so he rose to a very high position. They saw his integrity. And when his political rivals looked for a fault, they couldn't find one. And so they had to go after his faithfulness to God and to the law of God. Here he was in a foreign land surrounded by unfaithful unbelievers, quickly rising to the top. It would have been easy for him to cut corners, to start enjoying his success, to start coasting, to perhaps compromise. But by God's grace, he didn't. He was full of faith and full of integrity, full of the Spirit. And as the story goes on, we see him continuing in faithfulness despite great opposition, despite great danger. And when he hears of the plan and the law enacted to trap him, We read of his response later in chapter 6. It says, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. You see, Daniel feared God and not man. He was consistent. He had this pattern of walking by faith, faithfully calling upon God, depending on God. He was a man of faith and prayer. And this faithfulness was costly. So he was caught, and he was thrown to the lions. His life seemed over. And he knew that this very likely could happen. And yet he was faithful. And the Lord in his providence was faithful to him, preserved and delivered him. But what I want you to see and to think about this morning is not so much Daniel's faithfulness. Yes, he was faithful. And there are great lessons to learn from him. But the key to Daniel's faithfulness was the faithfulness of his God. The key to our faithfulness is God's faithfulness. You see, God's faithfulness is rooted in himself. Our faithfulness is rooted in his. Daniel was faithful because of his faithful God. We see it in Daniel daily getting on his knees to call upon God. Daniel wasn't faithful in himself. He needed the faithfulness and help and grace and strength of God. And so he pleaded with the Lord daily for it. And we could look at many other examples, not just Daniel. God so often demonstrates his faithfulness through the lives of his people. Sometimes in their weakness and sin, in their unfaithfulness, and sometimes through their courageous actions, through their sacrifice, through their perseverance and faithfulness to him. But that faithfulness does not have a human origin or explanation. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a gift of God. It is God's grace and God's faithfulness worked out in real life, in real people, in real difficult situations, worked out in them. And friends, that ought to be such an encouragement to you and me. It ought to encourage us immensely in this calling to cultivate this fruit by the Spirit, because it is ultimately God's faithfulness. But let's consider, fourth and finally, our faithfulness. When God works this out in us, this grace, this fruit of faithfulness, what does it look like? How do we see this in our lives? Galatians 5 tells us what faithfulness is not. It is not the works of the flesh. It is walking by faith. Walking by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, walking in love and humility, not living by the passions of the flesh, but by the Spirit, by principles, by the truth, by the Word of God. Faithfulness is being honest, keeping your word, being trustworthy, dependable, living by faith, living according to God's will, despite difficulty and opposition, despite the cost of it. It means using the gifts and the opportunities God has given you, fulfilling to the best of your ability the tasks and the callings that God has given you in dependence on Him and by His Spirit. It means being faithful in small things. Even things that are unseen by the world or by those around us. In Luke 16, verse 10, at the end of the parable of the dishonest manager, Jesus says, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much." In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the master commends the faithful steward saying, you've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Hudson Taylor once said, a little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in little things is a great thing. Faithfulness is cultivated slowly, little by little, step by step, day by day, in small things first. And I want you to just consider where and how God has called you to be faithful. Children, you are called to be faithful, obeying, listening to, learning from your parents, serving others, being diligent students, learning about God's Word and His world. Husbands or wives, you are called to be faithful to your spouse. Older men, older women, you are called to be faithful examples to the flock, to those who are younger than you or younger in the Lord. God calls us all to be faithful in our particular callings, working as unto the Lord and not to man. He calls us to be a faithful witness in society, to the world. He calls us to be faithful in our homes, in our neighborhoods, faithful in the use of our time, which He gives us, our energy, our resources, our gifts, which are all very different from one another. He calls us to be faithful friends. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Being a faithful friend means giving and at times receiving difficult but faithful and loving words. The eighth commandment calls us to be faithful in our contracts and matters of trust with possessions. The ninth commandment calls us to be faithful with our words. Or we could consider faithfulness to our covenant of church membership. For example, the sixth query in the covenant of church membership says, do you purpose to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in all the relationships of life, faithfully to perform your whole duty as a true servant of Jesus Christ? We are servants of King Jesus. We are His stewards. Are we living faithfully? Are we living faithfully in what He has called us to and where He has placed us? Or you could think of the covenant of baptism. Are we faithfully keeping the promises we've made to train our children, to teach them the gospel? Are we being faithful to pray for these children and for each other as we have promised if we're members of the church? Now, this can all be somewhat overwhelming and humbling, because as we've already seen, we are so often far from faithful, are we not? What do we do when we survey our life or the life of the church and we see a lack of faithfulness, which we will? Well, first, we need to own it. We need to acknowledge it and confess. Repent of that unfaithfulness, that sin. Remember, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And we need to look to the mercy and faithfulness of God. And then ask Him, after we've asked Him for help, after we've clung to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to ask Him for His help and His Spirit. We need to remember that our life in Christ, our fruitfulness, our salvation, our sanctification is rooted in His faithfulness, not ours. And this should drive us to Him. This should humble us and make us all the more dependent on and grateful for His faithfulness. And it should ultimately point us to Jesus Christ and exalt Jesus Christ. He is the one and only faithful man. He is the great faithful man. I began this morning with Proverbs 20, verse 6, a faithful man who can find. Faithfulness is rare. We can't find complete faithfulness except for in one man, Jesus. Revelation 19:11 pictures him as the rider on the white horse and says his name was faithful and true. Hebrews 3 says he was faithful to who appointed him. Hebrews 4 says he is a sympathetic high priest because he was tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. He was completely faithful. Under the hardest conditions, with the greatest temptations, with great suffering and pain and being all alone. We considered how Daniel's faithfulness was costly, but Christ's was far more costly. His faithfulness cost his life. He was faithful unto death, and yet willingly for unfaithful sinners. We sang Psalm 15 earlier. Psalm 15 speaks of one who is able to dwell in God's tent, in God's presence. That one is one who is faithful, one who walks blamelessly, who does what is right, who speaks the truth, and who swears to his own hurt, and yet does not change. Think about how Christ has done that in faithfulness. First of all, Psalm 15 is not you and it is not me. It is Jesus Christ. Think about how he promised to be our Savior, to be the Christ. And even when that hurt, even when that cost him his life as a sacrifice for sinners on the cross, he was faithful. And friends, his faithfulness is yours. By faith. He is your hope. He is your Savior. He is making you new. He is making you like Himself. The Heidelberg Catechism opens with this well-known first question: what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I am not my own, but that I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ by His Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Brothers and sisters, what comfort and joy and peace is there in our faithful God, in our faithful Savior? He is the one faithful man. He was never once unfaithful. And by His faithfulness, by His perfect life and death and resurrection, you are saved and you are sanctified. And so fix your eyes on Him. Rejoice in Him. Walk by faith in Him and His Spirit as He makes you faithful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do confess that so often we still walk not by the Spirit, but we do gratify the desires of the flesh. And so, Lord, we are unfaithful to You. Even though You have been faithful to us, even though You have given us Christ, Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for when we are unfaithful to You. And Lord, we praise You and thank You that You are faithful to Your promises, that You are faithful to Your covenant, You are faithful to Your people. You forgive us, You sanctify us. You save us. We will be glorified. And so, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you and on your faithfulness. Help us to rejoice and to take great comfort in the perfect faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our sympathetic high priest. And then, Lord, make us increasingly like him to your glory and honor by your Spirit. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.